righty, boys and girls, let's go on an adventure. Remember the Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure? Or maybe you can't remember that far, dude. Was it Bilbo Baggins went on a big adventure? This is an agriculture adventure day at the Red River Zoo. And this is even better than any of those famous adventures. And North Dakota State University soil health specialist Abby Wick is spearheading this. Abby, you put together a fun event, it looks like, for this Saturday.
Hey, Mick. Yeah, I'm excited for it. Agriculture Adventure Day is such a great event put on by the Red River Zoo. And, of course, you know, NDSU Extension helps with it. So, hopefully this year, I think it's going to be a great event. It'll be a little different, but it'll still be a good time to learn about modern agriculture.
Yes, and kids get in free. Mom and dad got to, you know, pay at the gate, I guess, to get into the zoo. But what a great thing to do. Take the young ones to the zoo.
It's a great time. And so yeah, kids get in free on Saturday between 10 and 2 in the afternoon. So, and that's because we have great sponsors like Butler as a sponsor and also the North Dakota Grain Growers Association. And so their sponsorships help make it so that kids can get in free. And then, you know, inside the zoo, we'll have a tractor, we'll have some soil health stuff, a big, you know, the soil tunnel. Some horticulture activities, and so it'll be good. It won't be as hands-on as it's been in the past. We're kind of looking for a hands-off activity, but kids will still have a good experience, and they'll learn something, and so will the adults that bring their kids.
Now, we don't have a mandate on masks here in North Dakota, but are there going to be signs there encouraging, or just social distancing will do, or what's the protocol?
You know, everyone that works at the zoo or is volunteering will have a mask on, and any of the passport activity we do when we stamp the passports, those people have gloves on. So we'll try to do our best with that. I do have actually 1,000 masks.
Wow.
If people show up to the zoo and they're like, oh, I forgot my mask and there's a lot of people here, I'd really like to have one on. Then we'll give them one so that they can do the event safely. And then of course, you know, encouraging the social distancing, which the Red River Zoo has been really good about that with one-way traffic through the zoo and also keeping people at a distance by having paw prints every 6 feet on the pathways. So,
cool, yeah.
So, you know, our Red River Zoo is one of the first zoos to open in the country or to reopen in the country after COVID hit. And so they've come up with some really good protocols to keep people safe. And we just hope when people show up that they can help follow those protocols so we can keep doing fun events at the zoo this year.
I'm kind of losing count already. Is this your third year or fourth year?
Gosh, I think it's our fourth year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's our fourth year doing this.
Wonder. Now, what do you find kids learn, and what kind of questions do they ask about agriculture, about farming, or maybe more importantly, food production?
You know, I think the thing that I see kids learn the most is when a farmer is talking with them at the crop plots there, and they say that all the corn grown in North Dakota is not sweet corn.
Yeah.
You know, the kids think we grow thousands and thousands of acres of corn to eat. And so when farmers share with them the end uses of those different crops, I think they're kind of amazed that a plant can be used for so many different uses besides eating sweet corn or eating popcorn. So that's kind of cool. And adults learn the same thing. And there are a lot of adults, including me, before I got into agriculture, I never knew that. I had no idea there was a difference between field corn and popcorn and sweet corn. You know, how would you know that unless somebody tells you that's what it is? So it's a great way to share a message about what we produce here and the end uses for it and bring some more information to those kids and adults.
And you can't fault them for that. I mean, people grow up in major metropolitan areas, Chicago, New York, L.A., Atlanta, thinking that the food that they eat comes from the back of the grocery store. It's not grown. They just don't. They're not aware.
Yeah, it's interesting. And you know, and I was definitely one of those people that, you know, my eyes were open when I moved here and learned from farmers and from commodity groups and from people working in the agricultural industry what it's all about. And so I think that there's a genuine interest in that from urban families and the public. So you know, they're not going to go out and find a farmer in his combine in his field and ask him questions.
Yeah.
so we have to bring that information to them in a format that's fun and is a way to learn a few things too.
And what a great format. The Red River Zoo Agriculture Adventure Day. And as you mentioned, North Dakota grain growers and sponsored by the North Dakota Corn Council, North Dakota Soybean Council. And I see it looks like Amber Bashan, North Dakota Livestock Alliance, going to be there too.
Unfortunately, this year we won't have the commodity groups. They couldn't have booths because of the COVID issues. But we do, NDSU Extension is going to do a few things, and we're just going to try to keep it as safe as we can and make it still a good experience. So that we have backing a lot of those organizations supporting the event. Unfortunately, they can't be there this year. So we'll just do what we can. And if anything, seeing all the animals at the zoo is great. So it's a great opportunity to check it out where kids get in free. And then, also to learn about the science behind breeding and cold climate species, which our zoo specializes in. So there's a lot of still great information to learn, even if we don't have as many booths there as we've had in the past.
And I've heard from people who have gone to the zoo this year, even between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. on a Saturday, the wolves can howl. Or you can make them howl by howling.
Yeah, the zoo is, the crop plot that we have there is by far one of the most interesting sights that I have, because you could be out there and hear wolves howling, or you could hear, all kinds of sheep and whatever making their noises. It's really cool. And if you don't get to experience the zoo this summer and you feel like you want to go this winter, it's an incredible place because all those animals live in cold climates. So they're actually kind of lazy when it's hot out, but when it's cold out, man, those animals are really, really active, which is pretty cool.
All righty. It's Saturday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Red River Zoo right off I-94 in Fargo. We'll hope to see you there. Thanks for doing that to educate about farming, agriculture, and food production. Hey, you've got another great event coming up next Tuesday.
We do. We've started getting a few questions again about cover crops for Prevent Plant. It seems like everybody's kind of got their plan and now they're putting it into motion. And so from 7:30 to 8:30 in the morning on Tuesday, Joel Ransom, Hans Condell, Marisol Berti, Dave Franzen, and I are going to be available for another virtual cafe talk. So I'm going to put together the flyer for that and get the links sent out to people, and we'll post it on the NDSU Soil Health webpage. And so if anyone's got any final questions before they get out there and put those cover crops in, we're happy to help.
At these cafe talks through the years, you have found that maybe more people than you thought show up at a small town cafe and talk about the issues that they have. How about the virtual ones? Are more people there in that virtual cafe than you imagined?
Yeah, we get 30 or so people that log into Zoom, because you can pretty much join the meeting and leave the meeting whenever you need to. So it's been a really, really good format. And actually, I think a lot of this we're going to take forward into the future, too, with just providing more opportunities for people to just really commit an hour, or less to something versus driving there, getting there, then leaving, and all of a sudden you've got 3 hours that you're away from what you were doing. So I think we'll do a lot more of these in the future because they work out pretty well.
Yeah, but you provided donuts and stuff like that. So, that brought them out.
It did. Lunch and donuts and all that good stuff. And there's something to be said for the face-to-face when we can actually talk through some of these different things that we want to try on our farm. So yeah, there's something to be said for that, but I think, next best is this kind of virtual format, and it sure is easier not having, four hours that I'm driving to get to a meeting. So
there are fringe benefits in everything, I guess. So
right.
Okay,
right.
Tuesday starting at 7:30 in the morning, it's Prevent Plant Issues, and man, there's a lot of them, huh?
Yeah, I think that, the questions that we've been getting on our when can I seed cereal rye in my field? Is it too early now? Am I too late? And so answering some of those questions that people have on timing of seeding, and really right now with Prevent Plant, if you're going to put cover crops on it, you should be getting it in the ground now. So get those cover crops seeded and get a good establishment and let them do their thing through the rest of this fall and until freeze up.
All right. Are you finding that farmers are a little more interested in planting cover crops, and not just for soil health, but for some other reasons too.
Yeah, I think there's, I'm getting phone calls from different people, which is great. People I haven't run into before, or maybe if I have, we haven't had a long conversation about it. So, you know, I think that it's tough to look at a field that's bare. And so, so if we can, you know, take care of the weeds first and then get something out there seeded that's going to carry through till next spring, if it's cereal rye before soybean, or just something that's going to help prep that field. I think there's a lot of interest in that. And we know farmers like to do something. So this is a way to do something on a field where you feel a little helpless, like you can't do anything. So we're seeing a lot more interest, and we just want to make sure that people, you know, have another set of ears to run some ideas across before they put the seed in the ground, and make sure that they thought of everything that they need to and have a good experience.
Alrighty. And gotten a lot of great feedback for ND Field Check, which runs every Wednesday. Last segment of Farm Talk here. Only about 30 seconds to go here. It's pretty easy to leave a question.
Yeah, just go on to ndfieldcheck.com and you literally click a button and leave us a voicemail with your question, and then we find the person to provide the answer. So super easy and a great way to get some information.
And it will be answered in podcast form, both on the website and, of course, here on Farm Talk Wednesdays through the month of August. Thanks to some great sponsors, the North Dakota Corn Council, North Dakota Soybean Council, North Harvest Bean Growers, North Dakota Grain Growers, North Dakota Wheat Commission. Did I miss anybody?
Barley Council.
Barley Council, you bet. All righty. Abby Wick, NDSU Extension Soil Health Specialist. Thanks for the work you do. We'll see you at the zoo.
Great. Thanks, Mick.
You bet.